Some days are terrible. You wish that you were dead. And some days are magical, like great banana bread. Someday we'll be friends with the voices in our heads. The voices in our heads.
Hello, everybody. How you doing? Congratulations on not killing yourselves. Welcome to the voices in our heads. Yay. We're figuring it out, guys. You know what adulthood is? As we grow older, I realize it's just accumulating more and more monthly costs. It's more subscriptions. And all these people that want your money and then they want more of your money, but you're not making more money, but they want more of it. And then you got to go, how must I be sane in this world? And the answer is you can't. You can't. You just got to be okay with not being sane. You know who's okay with not being sane? Katie Britt. That, of course, her name is Katie Britt. Name's Katie Britt. That I know this is not a timely talking about this because it already happened 15,000 years ago, but the Alabama state senator, Katie Britt, who gave a rebuttal to Joe Biden's State of the Union. How does that woman exist? How are you? What, bitch? You okay? I know you're not fun in bed. And that's not what matters most in a woman, of course. But I got to say, all the women that are like bad bitches, I just know they're good in bed. You know? Yeah. Her poor kids. Her poor kids. And I'm going to keep talking about childhood trauma until the day I die, because this lady's kids, oh, she named them. They're going to hate that later. Kids, if you're listening to this in the future and it's just like the year's 2053 and you just happen to stumble across this podcast, well, one, that means your life must be not going that great. But I'm sorry your mom did that to you. I'm so sorry your mom did that to you. That's terrible. And it's not your fault. We'll talk a little bit more about some childhood trauma shit later on in the episode, but just know it's not your fault. Okay. And You did pick your parents before you got here. That's a thing I choose to believe. And, you know, Katie done teaching you some lessons about not caring what everybody else thinks about your mother. Better late than never. But let's travel on over to a thought that kind of evens out Katie Britt's speech. And that's Sydney Sweeney's tits. My God, that woman has the most delicious breasts I've ever seen. It's crazy. And every time she's on camera, I'm like, how do you exist? I asked the same question about Katie Britt, but two different tones, two different vibes for that question asking. I just think about when I'm having a bad day, I'll think about Sydney Sweeney's boobs.
Me
those
too.
Those boobies, just fucking, just give me a break in my day, Sydney, and just motorboat me, please. And I know a woman is more than her tits, but when your tits are that good, they take up a lot of attention in my head. I can't imagine what men feel. How often do you think about Sydney Sweeney's tits, Mike?
You know, I didn't even really know who she was until I didn't watch Euphoria. But Sydney Sweeney is like a running topic of conversation on JL Covan's podcast, which we do here at Slickback.
That's how good her titties are.
Yeah, and he brought her to my attention, and now she's like in the lexicon now. Yeah,
she got real estate,
dude. Oh my God, I don't like to like talk about women like this, like on a microphone or anything. But
you'll probably get laid more.
She's one of the most beautiful women I think I've ever seen.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Me too.
She's so hot.
She's so hot. Even I'm like, dude, how did this one get that hot?
Oh my God.
God gave her all the hot. Well, it's for all of us to enjoy.
And just to she does seem like a great actress as well.
Oh, she's a fan. I mean, I know you haven't seen Euphoria, so you can only comment on her tits. Incredible actress.
Yeah.
I mean, goddamn, this girl does the Meisner technique like Meisner would have wanted.
Right.
And with the titties. It's like, Jesus Christ.
So we want to give her flowers for being talented and awesome. But my goodness, those breasts are unbelievable.
And it makes it even crazier that she is so talented and her boobies are so fine.
Yeah.
And it's similar to how I feel about Beyonce. I'm like, that
right.
Beyonce's body is crazy.
Right.
It's, you see it and you're like, what the fuck? How did those shapes happen? Yes. What did you do that?
Yes.
Money, I guess, but, and hard work. But the fact that somebody could be so supremely talented and look like a statue. I'm like, more of that. Sydney Sweeney, congratulations. You're the Tom Hardy of women. You're the Jason Momoa of chicks.
Yeah.
Everyone loves you. I love a gal like that. a gal that's so hot that like women love her, men love her, everyone loves her.
Yeah.
So yeah, whenever I'm getting down, I think about Sydney Sweeney's boobies. And yeah, I had a conversation with the, I'll say therapist lady this morning about money. And it like, I know last time I came on the podcast and I was like, look at all these things that I'm, that are signs that I'm improving. And then this morning I'm like, I'm a mess and no one loves me and I'm never going to get anywhere. And what's the point? How quickly we can fluctuate from one to the other. And I worked through, I worked through a blockage. I was very ashamed and embarrassed. But I didn't hang up. I'm not a hanger upper on a phone call, but I did tell her, I'm like, I'm very embarrassed and ashamed right now. And I just want to be honest. I don't want to be on this phone call. She's like, that's okay. That's okay. And I turned the video. It was a Zoom. I turned the video off and I just walked around the room pacing. She's like, you still with me? I'm like, yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it felt, I was like a puppy with my tail between my legs the whole time. I was like, yep, I know. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. No, I got to face it. Money is a wild thing. And we all want it. And then when you get it, people say that money doesn't buy happiness. I say that's utter bullshit. Money, when you have money, you have a sense of safety because you could do things and you could go, like the places you can go expand exponentially the more money you have. Yeah. And to me, what's better that, you know what I mean? Like, so having no money, I equate that as feeling very stuck in every way. I can't go to the Barbados. Okay. I can't go to, what was me, right? Feel bad for me yet? I can't go to fucking the Maldives, the little huts in the ocean and the pictures that they always talk about, you know. But yeah, so money, man, it's something. And I know that how to tackle any issue is to reframe it. You got to reframe it in your head. And I'm still working on how to reframe the money thing. Cause every time I get even a little financially tight, I re-get mad at my parents for all that money that I put into their house all cash. And I get mad at them again for them not educating me about a mortgage because they had perfect credit. Did they pass any of those tips on to their daughter?
No.
Correct. They did not. And so when they were like, oh, you want to go on a house with us? And I'm like, sure, I'll give you all the cash. They weren't like, maybe you want to get a mortgage. You know, give me some tips, mom and dad. Give me some tips. You didn't teach me shit, okay? And now I gotta teach myself shit. And my brain goes offline mad easily because I have a low tolerance for frustrating situations. So this is gonna be a fun year. Sign up for my fucking Patreon. When I wired my parents over that money, hundreds of thousands of dollars, okay? And I didn't realize, oh, you gotta pay taxes on that. You dumb bitch. I went from Jasmine to Aladdin in 2 days. I was in a castle for 2 days with my pet monkey and my carpet that flew places. And then I'm a street rat. Now I'm a street rat. 2 days. It's a glow down. Okay. Yes. We talk about glow ups all the time. They're inspiring, but maybe let's celebrate some glow downs because it's a little reminder that we're all human and we're all trying and we're all succeeding, but then we all fail too. And we all get real happy, but then goddamn, do we all get sad again? And you're like, this again? It's going to come back. It's cyclical. Okay. Got to figure this out. Really wish I learned stuff about money, but hey, I'm learning it now, or I'm trying to. There's a lot of phrases that we use on a daily basis that are completely either the quote is incomplete that we use to make a point. And because the quote's incomplete, the point we make is null and void. I didn't realize this. The continuation of the phrase, the customer is always right. Harry Selfridge apparently coined this phrase a couple decades ago. The customer is always right in matters of taste. Well, that takes on a new fucking meaning. With that, I always hated when I worked in retail. Oh, so bad at it. Forever 21. I worked at Forever 21. Do you know how those clothing racks get ravaged the second you put everything neat? These fucking 16-year-old little tweeny twats are like, and you're like, oh, bitch, you just ruined my whole. And it's like, you gotta, and I would always hear when I worked at Forever 21, the customer's always right. The customer's always right. Well, they're always right in matters of taste, Renee. You misquoted Harry. And another one we get wrong, another quote, a few bad apples. That was used, you know, most recent in memory to describe cops that murder black people is a few bad apples. And I always thought, you know, we don't say that about airline pilots. And I was going to do a bit about it. And then Chris Rock did a bit about it. And I was like, fuck. But that's cool that we're on the same brainwave, you know. But the whole the original phrase being a rotten apple quickly infects its neighbor. Zimmerman told ABC News, historically, there has been a version of this proverb going way back. The earliest is from 1340. Could you imagine being alive then? Oh, God, I'd rather have $18,000 in monthly payments in English and probably earlier in Latin. Throughout the 19th century, a version of the original was frequently used in Sunday sermons. As one bad apple spoils the others, so you must show no quarter to sin or sinners. I don't know what that means. The idea of the proverb was to take this image of rotting that can have a corrupting influence on the apples nearby and using that as a kind of metaphor to say, you have to be careful about a bit of wrongdoing in an organization or it can have this overall corrupting effect on its entire system. And it makes me want to revisit any time any person has said a few bad apples, it's okay as an excuse for bad police officers who are murderers. You know, I just want to go to your home and I want to sit on your couch that's probably covered in plastic wrap. Okay. And I want to talk to you as you smoke your cigarette indoors on your lazy boy recliner. And I want to tell you how wrong you are about that phrase. And then I want to get a moment of vindication where you go, oh, I feel like such an idiot. And then I go, ha, because you are, bitch. This is the things I think about. This is what I think about to get through my day. And then I think about Sydney Sweeney's boobies. And I'm like, you know what? Relax, Christina. Think of those flesh pillows. Those heavy, they're probably so heavy. You know, they probably weigh a good amount of pounds. It's just so tight. I'm taking this masterclass on how to connect with your spirit guides. Corinne got it for me for my birthday. And it was with this psychic lady that I've already actually had a psychic reading with. Maybe that's why I don't have any money. And it's been great. I took the class last night and there's some tips. If you're spiritual, I think that you'll get a kick out of these. They're very interesting, very specific, kind of random, but under the umbrella of spirituality. If you're a crazy bitch like me and you just buy everything. Yeah, this is why I don't have any money. Well, I stopped buying everything because I ran out of money. And you just get all this spiritual stuff because, you know, like desperate for a solution because you never want to feel this way again. Some of this stuff doesn't really work. So she said, this I thought was interesting. Don't use a pendulum. I have one of those pendulums. It's basically like a crystal and a chain, just one long chain. And you drop it from your hand while holding the chain. And you kind of say like it'll swing back and forth for a yes and a no. She said that a lot of times pendulums are too sensitive to your own energy and it'll give you the answer you want. And I was like, well, that's a hot fucking tip. Okay, tell everybody. Also, she said quince seeds, which is a Q-U-I-N-C-E. She said you could buy them on Amazon. So you bet your ass they put them up on my Amazon influencer affiliate link, link in my bio, linktree.com/Christina Hutch. She said, when you have, or this is very specific, when you have an earthbound spirit that's trying to like hang on, if you put quince seeds around your like windowsill and in the corners of your home, they'll go away. I'm like, she said it with such confidence that I was like, whoa, hot tip. I've never had anything like that happen. But if you're having something like that happen, just go click on my Amazon affiliate link, give your girl some money and get some quince seeds. and another thing she had our class do over Zoom is when you rubbing your palms together, right, and creating a lot of friction, try to do it for like a minute straight, you know, and then when you take your hands apart and then you push your palms back together, not really making them touch, but you could kind of feel this like marshmallow in between your two hands. And that's power. That's energy. And much like RJ Spina says, and a lot of people say, you can heal yourself. Everybody has the ability to heal themselves. We just don't know how to access it. This is a really quick way to access it. And then you could put it over a part of your body that maybe needs a little healing. So I was like, I got to tell everybody that real quick. She kept saying slow down a million times. I'm like, that feels personal. I'm going to write that down. And when you're getting a message from your spirit guides, she said, it will always, even if it's not the answer you want, the message will come and you won't feel any anxiety or doom. That's how you know it's your guides telling you, because everything that they try to push you towards is for your greatest and highest good. Okay, Katie? And a lot of times they'll communicate by like dropping an idea in your head. So all of a sudden you'll be walking down the street or driving in your car. And then you're like, I should get a lease on that commercial space for my business. And you're like, where did that come from? Maybe it was your spirit guides, bitch. Cut to, that was a bad financial decision and now you're broke. But, you know, it could be your spirit guides. Again, maybe this podcast is me finding out where all my money went.
I felt like you were reading my mind.
I have been told I'm psychic. Guys, guess what? It's time for some fuckboy theater, okay?
Sydney Sweeney's movies are so good. Oh my God, can I have some? In my plate, I'll eat it with a fork and a knife, but it won't hurt because I'll sing you the song while I eat your boobs, Sydney Sweeney. Sorry, I keep talking about your boobs.
Okay. Let's read. Let's go, or I'm going to do two. And, you know, if you have a screenshot of an atrocious dating app conversation, text message conversation with a man who's behaving like a real man, DM it to me at Christina Hutch. It's KRYSTYNA. Why is it spelled like that? I didn't pick it. Somebody my mom met once suggested it and she said, okay. So that's the story. So this is between a woman who's amazing named Alexandra and a piece of crap from a dumpster named Craig.
Alexandra, great meeting your folks tonight. Love that dress on you. Have a great evening.
Thanks.
You're a smoke show, kissy face emoji. Glad I got to hang out with you tonight. We should hang out sometime.
You're married. I don't think that's appropriate.
Appropriateness is relative. If you'd like to meet up sometime, let me know. LOL. So that's a yes then, winky face?
That's a no. I'm not into married men.
Ugh. No worries.
The fucking... Ugh.
Okay, this one. Hold on, I gotta get in the zone for this one.
I want to duct tape your ass cheeks apart and finger fuck both your holes.
Jeez. Well, we finally figured out what makes me blush.
Oh my, have I shocked you?
Yes.
What, you've never been a tape slut? Duct tape on your wrists, ankles, over your mouth, on your nipples, covering your pussy?
No. Ha 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 ha. I didn't know that was a thing.
How I make sure my toys don't struggle during anal.
Oof.
And scene. You know what I wish? I wish I was friends with Sydney Sweeney. I'll stop talking about her boobs if she is friends with me, because that's uncomfortable and I don't want to make her uncomfortable. But I would love to read that lady's DMs. My God. Come on, girl. You're sitting on a pot of gold. Well, you're sitting on two pots of gold. We're laying down on them when you're laying on your stomach. Oh, boy. It's just, that's the only thing that's the light at the end of the tunnel for me today is Sydney Sweeney's boobies. All right, back to childhood trauma, because you know what time it is. It's the voices in our heads and I'm talking. I keep talking about childhood trauma a lot because, so I do the Patreon. You should sign up. I highly recommend it. There's a $5 a month level where you can, it's called Just Here to Listen. And you can, I host a weekly Zoom group therapy every single week for an hour. And it's fucking fascinating. I really love it. I love that I can hop on a Zoom, talk to a bunch of people I don't know. Some of them I've really gotten to know well because I've been a part of it for a while. And we just skip all the bullshit. We skip all the small talk and people just get into what's going on with them. And I'm like, see, it is possible. It's possible. You know, if you don't like a feeling, a lot of times talking about it, very helpful. And I'm really funny. Okay. So I'll make ha-has
while you're when appropriate. I haven't really fucked up with that yet because I'm, you know, I'm good at reading the room. It's really valuable. But I will say, man, some of y'all's parents suck, dude. They suck. And a lot of people are still in contact, but even further living with their parent. That's like just very abusive. And that's tough. You're in a jail cell and the prison, the door to that jail cell is wide open. You know, obviously finances play a big role in this. Boy, oh, the theme is money today and Sydney Sweeney's tits. You know, but we can get out of the hole. It just feels like metaphorically we cannot. There was this post, a couple people sent me the same post. So Patrick Tehan is a therapist on Instagram. He's a therapeutic influencer, I would say. He's got a lot of childhood trauma and he says really potent, poignant things about it that really resonate with me. Whenever people send me the same post, I'm like, okay, I gotta really look at this. And sometimes, gotta be honest, it hurts. Cause they're like, you do this too, right? I'm like, yeah, I'm just trying to forget that I do. But one of the posts was toxic parents see their children as selfish adults who are making choices at their expense. And that got my goat. I'll read a little bit and I love his captions. He's a really beautiful writer and I don't get the whole woe is me vibe from him, which is lovely. Cause a lot of, therapists on Instagram, like something's up with you. I don't know exactly what it is, but I don't like it. I really like this guy. He says immature, toxic parents don't see their children as children. They see them as insensitive adults who are making their life difficult. You didn't think I was making your life difficult when I wired you over all that money, did you, Dad? I can't believe you'd ask me for that. That's what I should ask him. Why is it always about you? When do I get to have fun? I guess these are things that toxic parents say. Mine don't say that, but I do know some people that'll tell me things that their parents say. And I'm like, ha, the balls. And it's along these lines. I'm like, an emotionally immature person, just go fuck yourself. You know, just go fuck yourself. Like, go in the woods and heal and don't come back until you stop doing that. I do everything for you and I can't ever think about what I need. Jesus. Who would those questions be more appropriate for, kids or adults? Our healing work is to recognize just how crazy it is to expect a 7-year-old to be thinking more of their parents' needs rather than just being in their own world and in their own bodies. Well, welcome to my childhood, kids. And then there's this other. So then that got me just looking at his Instagram page, doing a little deep dive that I do from time to time. And this one got me. This one fucking got me. It's at the top of the graphic. It says my parents did the best they could and it's scratched out. And then below that, it says they refused to look at themselves. And you know what? As someone who would say like they did the best they could, even though their best sucked. No, they refused to look at themselves. Thank you for arming me with that piece of information, Patrick. I will never say they did the best they could again. Cause guess what, mom and dad, your best sucked ass. It sucked big old titties, but not Sydney Sweeney's titties. It sucked a guy's titties it sucked Chunk from the Goonies titties. That's child. Ugh, whatever. Just anybody else's titties. Cause no one's is as good as hers. That's a good one. I hear a lot of people say parents did the best they could. And I often agree. I'm like, yeah, they did. But they also refused to look at themselves. And that is truer. My parents did the best they could is a non-fault phrase that we as healers need to thoroughly examine. I see it as an idea that keeps people stuck. Is it true? What was that their best? Did your toxic parents seek help?
No.
Reflect on how things were going?
No.
Make brave decisions on your behalf?
No.
Leave abusers to keep you safe?
This is my last word. No.
Ask what their part in things were?
No.
Wonder why you were showing signs of trauma?
No.
No, instead they were like, why are you acting like that? What's your problem? Oh, that's why I got rage. He says, I call bullshit. The phrase doesn't work for most of us. And I think it gets in the way of healing. It implies that had our parents been more informed or had access to resources, things would have been different. Narcissistic and codependent parents don't operate that way. It's super generous to think they would. Oh, put me in my place, Patrick. It's okay for both survivors and clinicians to hold toxic parenting accountable. Well, thank God. Accessing and processing anger, rage, grief, sadness, and above all, The truth is how healing works. We don't stay in those feelings forever. We move on. That's what I had to remind myself this morning when I was crying while the screen was off my Zoom. They did the best they could is just like childhood, where we overly focus on the toxic parent and not our experience. Oh, I didn't read that part until now. And that's fucking true. You know, there's a lot of people in my Zoom and then just people, I guess, DM me. I just attract people with parent issues because I talk about it, which makes sense. And I don't mind talking about it. I'm always really interested to see like, how shitty were your parents? Like what, you know, comparing and contrasting. The threat of suicide, we get it a lot with like boyfriends, you know, like if you leave me, I'll kill myself. Oh, okay. I'll stay then. Why didn't you say that earlier? God, I'll definitely stay. You're going to kill yourself? Oh, I love you. I'll stay. I want to now, actually. Feels like I would be missing out on a real beautiful time if I didn't stay, huh? You're really selling this even harder for me. What? That never, don't threaten suicide. Don't threaten it, you know? Don't threaten. It's so cruel. It's so cruel. And yes, I'm, you know, being a little projecty because I've had to too many people threaten suicide, especially a caretaker. And it really gets my goat. Okay. I'm going to say it. Yeah, I know. Plug your kids' ears. It gets my goat. I'm like, what do you expect? If you break up with me, I'll kill myself. All right, then we'll stay together. Let's get married. Do you want to get married? I think we should. I think you're the one for me forever and always. You're the one that I deserve. You're the one that the Disney movie said. Do you know Aladdin actually threatened to kill himself, but that didn't make the cut in the movie because they were like, too real. But he did. And Jasmine still wanted him after that. Actually, she wanted him more because he threatened to kill himself, because that's really appealing on a person when they threaten suicide. You're like, oh my God, what's your name? You know, just kidding. It never works. I want to do a new how to be hot video. And I want it to be how to be hot while editing a video because short answer, you can't be hot. I'm learning video editing software. I use Video Leap, which is a great app, but I'm also now learning Adobe Premiere, which is the more, you know, there's more advanced options. And my boyfriend's also editing his podcast on Adobe Premiere. Ooh, I want to shout it out actually. The Olive Tree Mad Men, Sounds from the Cellar. It's a musical podcast with six co-hosts, my boyfriend being one of them. He plays every Monday night at the Olive Tree Cafe, which is right above the Comedy Cellar. Fucking so talented. These musicians are just, I'm in awe of all of them. It's the craziest voices you've ever heard. Musical ability, it's amazing. So I was so excited that they started a podcast. But anyway, my boyfriend's editing it. And the sounds that, like, as I'm doing stuff in my house and he's editing, I'm like, the sounds are so funny. They're just like, oh, fuck. Oh, okay, whoops. You know, you're just here. And it's just like such highs and lows, such peaks and valleys of like, no, 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 come on. And then you're like, oh, we're back down to zero. We're back down in the gutter. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, that's how I do it. Okay. It's just so much. The stakes are so high. The stakes are really high. All right. This is going to be a short episode. I'm going to read chapter 2 of Supercharged Self-Healing. A revolutionary guide to access your high frequency states of consciousness that rejuvenate and repair. It's by RJ Spina. This book is amazing. And if you don't know, I'm continuing these chapter readings on my Patreon. So last week I read a couple pages of chapter 1. I finished the chapter 1 reading on my Patreon. It's already available. And when you listen to this, when it comes out on Monday, the additional reading will already be up on my Patreon. $5 a month. Yeah, I know. It's another monthly thing, but five is fine. This is how we get into debt. You just okay everything, but please. So for this one, I'm actually going to read, I'm going to read the entire chapter 2 because it's not too long. And then for the bonus on my Patreon, I'll be reading chapter 3. So chapter 2, I love this title. Let go of belief and access the magic of your imagination. Ooh. Ooh, wait, what's the sound effect? Okay.
That's a new one.
Yeah. Okay. All right, that was a tour through my sound machine. Okay, creation, like the blossoming of a lotus flower, is silent. Destruction, like the tearing down of a tree, is loud. Do not fear the deconstruction of your disharmonious, belief-based, egoic identity and its misprogrammed body of energy. That's what we all are. We're just walking egos that were misprogrammed, and that's why we're all mad. And it's okay. We're gonna get better. No matter how loud and unsettling the process, it must go in order to command the experience of harmony and perfection already within you. Being ill isn't a form of punishment. Tell that to any man with a cold or a sinus infection. How you feel, Mikey?
Way better.
Good.
Yeah.
Sorry God punished you. It's certainly not God's will. It's simply a self-mastery challenge over our body of misprogrammed energy. Blame does not exist either, except within the feckless flailing of duality. Okay, Shakespeare, take me out to dinner first. Jesus Christ. There is simply feedback based upon choices. Ultimately, there is only one that works and what doesn't work in terms of what we're trying to achieve. Your mission is to awaken from the spell of this low frequency environment, which AKA is Earth, is mad low frequency. That's why all those near-death experience videos I watch, every time everybody died, they're like, oh, it's so much better. This is way, you can't even get close to feeling like this on Earth. But don't kill yourself. Your mission is to awaken from the spell of this low frequency environment and through tangible self-awareness, vanquish the egoic identity. Take full command of your body of energy and thus return to what is the original you. Health, vitality, power, and a tangible connection to the immortal and divine self. Well, sign me the fuck up for that, RJ. Sign me the fuck up for that. The physical body has a limited form of consciousness all to its own, but it must surrender to the far greater sentience that is the self. You, sentience, that's what you are. You're sentience. I'm not Christina. I'm sentience, okay? Christina's just a little role I play this time around. You, sentience, command the body. If we do not utilize our innate wisdom and love, then we are operating only with fragmentary data from our low-frequency physical senses. This keeps us in the limited realm of body consciousness, which is identification with the physical body. And man, if you're Sydney, sweetie, how do you not identify with those titties, you know? And it's poor sensory perceptions. In turn, we become victim to genetics, not Sydney, and the limitation of so-called knowledge. Authentic self-healing cannot take place within any delusional state.
Houston, I repeat, authentic self-healing cannot take place in any delusional state.
Over. Thank you. Neither can true peace, joy, and happiness. But delusions are so fun. One of the fundamentals of self-repair and healing is recognizing that the knowledge and beliefs that are commonly accepted about health and healing are simply not true. In these higher consciousness realms, energy immediately responds to the pure force of imaginative intention. That's why you got to do your fucking, your sayings every day. I, Christina Hutch, money flows to me easily and effortlessly. There you go. Little mantras. You got to do little mantras. It does here in the physical universe as well, just more slowly. That way we can see ourselves in the act of creation. Cool. I mean, I'd rather just think of something and get it, but I get what you're saying, RJ. This is all part of perfecting our abilities as master creators to help with separation from the body. It's the physical body, not our sentience or what we really are, that responds to muscle testing. Same with eating in accordance to our blood type. These responses of the body have nothing to do with sentience. We, sentience, are the awareness of the body's reaction to muscle testing and the effect of our dietary habits. Despite this truth, most people believe that they are the physical body, outer personality, and everything they've temporarily accumulated. And that's why we're all so afraid to die. Because we're like, that's it. If I die, I'm dead. No, you're not. Your body's gone. I am the sum of all these things. And the more I lay claim to both the tangible money and stuff and the intangible knowledge and experience, the bigger, more important, more successful and worthy my egoic identity becomes. Oh yeah, that's true. In this belief system, the more I have, the more I am. Well, wait, yeah, duh. There are also people who believe that by shunning material possessions and earthly knowledge, we all know them, they've destroyed their ego. Yeah, people get high and mighty about everything, having too much or having too little. We gotta chill. But shunning is just the flip side of acquiring. There are two sides of the same coin. Duality is the domain of lower frequencies and births the belief-based egoic identity. Freeing sentience, our timeless immortal awareness, from the tyranny of our linear logical mind and limited body consciousness is the only real revolution that ever takes place. All of our power is in getting our energy back from the egoic identity. Yeah, we spent a lot of energy just ruminating. Nope, that's ego boo-boo. You gotta chill. The physical body can be repaired and healed once we no longer identify with it. So that's why when he said he got that diagnosis of like, hey boo, sorry, 2 weeks to live, paralyzed for the rest of those 2 weeks, he didn't get sad because he's like, well, I'm not my body, so I'm fine. And I'm like, girl, that would take, it would take me 87 years to get to that point. Well, with that attitude, it would. The physical body can be repaired and healed once we no longer identify with it. Think of it this way. We cannot transcend what we refuse to let go of. Ugh. That's true. Our new and more holistic understanding of the sentience, the self, its complement of energy, and the temporary human experience is a leap forward in the evolution of sentience and humanity's subsequent healing. Only in the destruction of the belief-based egoic identity does true healing and superior quality of life take place. And that's what I'm trying to get all of us to, okay? We just buckle up, kids. We're going to figure this out at some point, maybe. Override the ego-mind identity limitation program. Healing requires overriding energetic misprogramming. So the first step in the Ascend the Frequencies healing technique, ATFHT, is the accessing of our true nature. That's a good one. This will cease the impetus driving your disharmony. You must apply the brakes first in order to release everything that has accumulated through misconceptions, misunderstandings, and misidentifications. This way, you can increase your functionality by rewiring your entire reprogrammed energy field simply by returning to what is the original you. The vibration of self is what you must use to heal your body of energy. The self is infinitely higher vibration than the low frequency egoic identity in the physical body. So it naturally harmonizes them and everything else in this much lower frequency plane of existence hellhole called Earth. I added that part. By consciously living in the self, our entire body of energy naturally heals. Guys, it's just all like, and this whole, I mean, he's going to say this again and it bears repeating. All you have to do is just be yourself and shit just goes better. That's not, people's main problems is that we're not being who we authentically are. And that can include not, you know, pretending to like something that you don't like, or not really, you know, taking stock of like, I got a law degree and now I'm a lawyer, but I hate it. But my mom likes it, you know, that kind of shit. I feel so bad for people like that when their parents push them to a career. I couldn't fucking imagine if that happened to me. Oh God. And I ended up doing a professional job that I didn't like. I mean, I wouldn't put it past me. I just got other things that I did. But boy, oh boy, I'd be pissed if I was a doctor right now. By consciously living as a self, our entire body of energy naturally heals. But what's far more important with regard to your journey of self-mastery is that living directly as the self is the most expedient way to evolve. By refusing to misidentify with the egoic identity and the physical body, I override their limitations of misprogramming, which included paralysis, you go girl, severe chronic illness, several, and powerfully commanding my healing precisely as I had predicted. It is worth repeating, the belief-based egoic identity is a limitation program that runs by thinking. Another thing he's going to be repeating a bunch in this book, basically thinking is bad. Brainstorming is completely different. But like, you know what I mean? Like when you're thinking, ruminating is another version of thinking, because we, our brain is just, our mind is like a typewriter and it's just always typing, whether we pay attention to it or not. And it's like, yeah, we could take the paper out of the typewriter and cling to it and go, this is me. Not really, boo. It was just a thought your mind had, because your mind's always churning out thoughts. You don't got to listen to them. It is constructed from fragments of the whole and is therefore always in need of something to complete itself. This perpetual wanting and ever-present incompleteness, the egoic identity is disharmony itself, can only produce disharmonious thought patterns, which are the source of health problems. I repeat, disharmonious thought patterns are the source of health problems. All disharmony, when taken back to its energetic inception and conception, comes from disharmonious thought patterns. We cannot expect the source of our ill health, belief-based thinking, to fix our ill health. And that would get me so much more pissed off if I was paralyzed and then I came out of surgery and they're like, you're still paralyzed and you have 2 weeks to live. And then RJ came in my room and it was like, you just got to think more positively. Like, I'm like, oh, is that it? Is that all I have to do? It's a lot of work to try to wade through that ego, baby. I'm saying I'm here for you. I get it. To better understand the egoic identity, imagine a racetrack with disharmonious thoughts racing around the track like cars. The more cars there are, The faster they travel, the more disharmony, chaos, and collisions occur, which often is increased sickness, disease, and malfunctions. And since the belief-based egoic identity is an endless loop of misperceptions, misunderstandings, and misidentification, there is no end to this race, and we can never win. Ooh, who's horny? But we can disassociate with the cars and rise above the racetrack. From that frequential perspective, we can heal the damage that we've done below. Okay. What we can't do is heal ourselves with our egoic identity because it is the source and creator of problems. The egoic identity is a master at imbuing disharmony. We bathe thoughts and emotion through identification and thoughts with thoughts. Oh, right. Because the thought will produce the emotion and then we'll feel the emotion all day. And then we're like, I'm in a crappy mood. Well, really, you just clung on to a thought too hard. This act of bathing thoughts with energy through identification with them creates feelings. These feelings about ourselves and others are what cause our suffering. That is very true. Because when I was crying this morning on that Zoom, I was like, I'm so stupid with money. I was just berating myself. I'm like, girl, thank God I went through that year, that hell year of scream crying. Because I'm like, it will get better. So you're going to get out of this hellhole. That's one gift that I will take with me till the end of my days. The egoic identity has nothing to do with what we truly are. It's just a creation, character in a play. Your memorized dialogue is the collection of beliefs you had identified with. And beliefs are the context for every thought. Disharmonious thought patterns lead to disharmonious feelings, actions, experiences, and behaviors. But buried beneath the temporary construct of the egoic identity limitation program is wholeness and completeness. Thank fucking God. Freedom itself, unending joy, timeless wisdom, and unconditional love with an indomitable power at its disposal. That is what you are, not a tiny who. Okay. I love that for us. By misidentifying with our limited ego identity, we forfeit unlimited imagination, our true magic, in favor of transient, disempowering reality. We literally give our life force, our energetic power, to the ego identity. That's how we become slaves to the concepts, beliefs, memories, and information that we've misidentified with, including the physical body. Everything we place our attention on or allow into our environment greatly affects our energy field and our health. That's one that bears repeating. Everything we place our attention on, because attention is energy, boys and girls and these and thems, on or allow into our environment greatly affects our energy field and our health. Every sound, image, and vibration, well, that's a lot. Everything, even stimuli that the physical body and finite mind can't consciously perceive, have a profound effect on us. Oh, man. We're just fucked, basically. Have you ever suddenly become aware of a sound and realized that it's been going on for a while? Though you just became aware of it, you were still affected by it. These energies leave impressions within our bodies of energy and have a massive impact on us, even though consciously we are completely unaware of them. Oh, God. If it's not one thing, it's the fucking other stuff. This understanding has far-reaching implications. We must summon our will to detach from the trance-like egoic identity that is built upon the delusion of beliefs. It is the only way we can tangibly see these energetic constructs for what they really are, the enslavement of our immortal consciousness that is yearning and designed for the freedom of unlimited imagination within the higher mind of Source. We are designated with the capacity to heal ourselves. That's what this book's about, guys. Trying to conquer nature through thought, which is what we call scientific progress, has been a perpetual outward expenditure of our energy, which only leads to the medicalization of health. And that's why I don't like America and I don't like the health system. I don't want to live anywhere else, but I also don't like it here. Ooh, that's a fun place to be. Our inner nature is harmony and balance and is reawakened prior to thought itself. The power to heal is within you. It is you, literally. Directly accessing the self is the first step of your healing journey and a greater quality of life. Through commanding your energies, you will be able to release, remove, destroy the disharmony at the root of all illness so that true repair and healing can occur. Anything short of this is merely treating symptoms. And that's Western medicine, you guys. And I know I'm not a doctor and I know I'm talking shit, but I have a symptom. Here's a pill. Why don't we figure out where the symptom's coming from? You know what I mean? There is no magic pill, injection, or high-tech invention for true healing. Even if there were, we would learn very little to absolutely nothing about ourselves by having someone do it for us. But boy, would that be fun. Uh-huh.
Waiting for others to fix or save us takes no accountability or responsibility.
Mm, wouldn't feel so good.
That is not the path of self-mastery. Authentic healers clear out disharmony that's currently occupying space within someone's consciousness and body of energies. The patient then reclaims themselves. They simply move their awareness into the freedom and completeness of the total self, ending their experience of limitation, delusion, and disharmony. How much time have I been
44 minutes.
Oh, I've been doing 44. I'm like, I've only been doing, okay, good. So I'm going to read, let me see. It's actually a couple more pages of this and I don't feel like reading it today. I don't want to read the rest of it on my Patreon. So I'm just going to finish this section and then we're going to fucking go Google Sydney Sweeney's boobies and then we'll do the next thing on our to-do list. Okay. We are perpetually responsible for ourselves on the grandest scale imaginable. That sucks though. Even beyond the confines of space and time.
God damn it.
When we abdicate any facet of our personal well-being to someone or something else, we stunt our individualized evolution, which is pointless because the very point of your existence is to know thyself and all its infinite potential. I'm trying. Instead of misidentifying with victimhood or waiting for something or someone to heal us, let's embrace our collective graduation into evolutionary adulthood. Oh, that sounds exciting and hopeful. Empower yourself by taking full responsibility for enhancing the quality of your inner life. Okay, I'll fucking try. This empowerment disempowers the emotional, physical, and mental illnesses of the belief-based egoic identity and the physical body. Don't need fucking health insurance when you got that. When we cease to misidentify with our imbalances, they will cease to have power over us. And that's true because how many people do you know with a medical condition of any kind? They have celiac disease, their diabetes, whatever, and they kind of wear it as a badge. Not, they're not like happy they have it, but their ego is kind of like, feel bad for me because I have this. And it's certainly not everybody, but I've met some people that are like that. And, you know, I'm not a treat when I'm sick. I usually keep to myself. But I'm sure if I got into a car accident, I'd be a whiny little bitch about it. I would. I'd be like, why is all happening to me? And so, you know, it's okay. You just got to get through that. Our individual and collective consciousness is then raised in frequency, vibration, and awareness. This is ascension, bitch. And this is the higher purpose of the ATFHT. Doing the work is the practice. And most of the steps in the healing technique are remarkably simple. And I got to say, somebody's read this book twice already. Yeah, they are. Only the infinite mind complicates and tries to interpret what is through logic and linearity, thus missing what actually is. Ugh. Yeah. Empty your head of preconceived notions, knowledge, belief, and expectations. Forget what you have been told about what is possible and what isn't. If I would have listened to the well-meaning, highly knowledgeable, and compassionate, that's very nice of him, healthcare practitioners regarding my own health, I'd still be in a wheelchair, most likely very ill, highly medicated, and quite possibly just a fading memory in the minds of some. Ooh, that's real sad. Forget everything you think you know. That kind of sounds nice. Healing is not what you think it is. If it was, you would not still be in need of it. Ooh, ouch, that hurt, RJ. Instead, let's start fresh. An open mind and true humility are all you need to begin freeing yourself from the known limitations. And that's a little chunk of chapter two. And don't you worry, kids. I'm going to read the rest of chapter two and I'm going to read chapter three on the Patreon bonus episode. I love those. I recorded one last week and it's nice. I did it in my closet and I was like, oh, this reminds me of when I originally recorded the voices in our heads in my closet on 34th Street. And I go on all kinds of fun rants about that. So patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson if you want to sign up. And congratulations, guys. You made it. It's not easy. It's not easy, but we're figuring it out. You know, if we don't laugh, we'll cry. And sometimes we cry and laugh at the same time. And you're like, well, that's confusing. But hey, that's life. All right. Thank you for listening. I love you so much. Have a great rest of your day.